Sanghara Vishvatman Ada Rupam Alokikam Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Shriya Jushtam Chaturbhujam Upasanghara Vishvatman Adarupam Alokikam Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Shriya Jushtam Chaturbhujam Upasanghara Vishvatman Adarupam Alokikam Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Shriya Jushtam Chaturbhujam Upasanghara Vishvatman Adarupa Malokikam Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Shriya Jushtam Chaturbhujam Upasanghara Vishvatman Adarupam Alokikam Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Shriya Jushtam Chaturbhujam Upasanghara Vishvatman Adarupam Alokikam Shankha Chakra Gada Padma Shriya Jushtam Chaturbhujam Ladies Upasanghara Vishvatman Adarupam Alokikam Shankha Chakra Gada Padmam Shriya Jushtam Chaturbhujam Upasanghara Withdraw Vishvatman O all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, Ada, that, Rupam, form, Alokikam, which is unnatural in this world, Shankha Chakra Gada Padma, of the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus. Shriya, with these opulences, Jushtam, decorated, Chaturbhujam, four hands. Translation. O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental four-armed form holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and become just like a natural human child so that I may try to hide you somewhere. O my Lord, please repeat, O my Lord, you are the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, and your transcendental four-armed form, holding conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, is unnatural for this world. Please withdraw this form and that is in brackets, I think it is added by the editor, and become just like a natural human child, so that I may try to hide you somewhere. Purport. Devaki was thinking of hiding the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not handing him over to Kamsa as she had all her previous children. Although Vasudeva had promised to hand over every child to Kamsa, this time he wanted to break his promise and hide the child somewhere. But because of the Lord's appearance in this surprising four-arm form, he would be impossible to hide. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitan Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So Krishna's appearance is not like that of our appearance in this world. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvataha chaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. Krishna says, my appearance and my activities, they are divyam, or transcendental. And one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities upon leaving his body at the time of death, he will come to me and not have to take birth in this material world again. So here in this verse we see that the Lord appeared in his four-arm form, his form of Lord Vishnu, holding the four symbols of the conch shell, the lotus, the disc, and the club. So, of course, Devaki and Vasudeva were very surprised, but even when the Lord appeared in this form, she had motherly affection for him, considering the Lord to be her child. So although Vasudeva and Devaki had handed over their previous six children to Kamsa, as Vasudeva had promised at the time of their marriage, Kamsa was prepared to kill Devaki when a voice from the sky announced, "You fool! You're driving the chariot of your sister. Her eighth son is going to kill you." So how could the eighth son kill him if he cut off her head? So he took his sword and was going to kill her. Vasudeva tried to reason with Kamsa. "Hari, this is very inauspicious for you. How can you kill your sister? Especially at the time of her marriage." This is very much against religious principles and social customs, etc. But Kamsa was not willing to hear such advice. So finally Vasudeva said, "Okay, I'll give all of my children to you. After their birth, you can do with them whatever you want." So it is mentioned at that time that Vasudeva was so truthful that Kamsa accepted his statement. He knew that Vasudeva was so truthful, there was no question of his going back on his word. And for that, he put down his sword and didn't kill Devaki. So Vasudeva was so truthful. And another very famous person who is famous for his truthfulness is Maharaj Yudhisthira. So truthfulness, as we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, is one of the four pillars of piety, or dharma. In the first canto, we have read the story of Maharaj Parikshit, who was installed at Hastinapur after the departure of the Pandavas. He was touring his kingdom and he came upon a black man attempting to kill a bull. The bull was described as standing on only one leg. So this bull was dharma, and the four legs of dharma are austerity, cleanliness, mercifulness, and the last leg of truthfulness. So it is described that as the four yugas progress, then dharma loses one leg, so that in the Kali Yuga, at least in the beginning, he stands on only one leg, truthfulness. So truthfulness is one of the four pillars of pious life. And this is also described in Bhagavad Gita. There are godly qualities and there are demoniac qualities. The godly qualities are described in the 16th chapter. Abhayam satta samshudhir jnana yoga vyavastitihi danam dhammash cha yajyascha svadhyaya stapa arjavam ahimsa satyam akrodhas Tyaga Shantirapaishanam Doya Bhute Shaloluptam Mardavam Priir Achapalam Teja Chamadriti Shochamadrohonati Manata Bhavanti Samparam Daivim Abhijatasya. So these are all the godly qualities of which truthfulness is one. Just opposite of that are the demoniac qualities. Dambo, Darpa, Abhimanascha, Krodham, Paurusham, Evacha, Agyanam, Chabijatasha, Samparam, Partha, Asurim. The demoniac qualities are arrogance, pride, harshness, anger, and ignorance. So this is described in Bhagavad Gita, that in this world there are two kinds of created beings, dvo bhuta sargo lokesmin daiva asura eva cha. Vishnu bhakta smrito daiva asuras tad viparyaya. Godly persons are devotees of Lord Vishnu, and the demoniac persons are just the opposite, envious of the Supreme Lord. So truthfulness is very much valued by those who are pious. And Vasudeva, of course, was a very pious person, as Maharaj Yudhisthira. But, as we see in this verse, that although these principles of piety or morality are very much treasured or very much important in the material conception of life, they can be overturned or violated for the service of Krishna. Vasudeva had promised, I will give all of my children to you, to Kamsa. And Kamsa believed him because Vasudeva's word was gold. His word was so much trusted. But here, Vasudeva and Devaki, for the service of Krishna, they don't want to give him the child. They want to break the promise and instead hide Krishna. So how you can hide someone who's got four arms, immediately stick out in a crowd, just like if you're walking at VT in rush hour, thousands of people, but if you saw someone with four arms holding a conch shell, disc, club, and lotus, you'd be shocked. So here in this verse it is said, which is unnatural in this world, so there are many things described in the Vedic literature which are unnatural in this world. Once Srila Prabhupada is talking to his disciples and he is saying, who is going to believe Shastra in this age? Prabhupada emphasized, we have to convince people in terms of logic, not simply depend upon Shastra, because in this age, people have no faith. So he gave the example, just like in the Shastra, it describes the demigods and the demons, they churn the milk ocean to produce nectar. So who is going to believe this, churning the milk ocean? Of course, these are all very astonishing according to our present experience. So, another example of truthfulness, Maharaj Yudhisthira. He was so truthful. He hated to tell a lie. Actually, this is the nature of those who are very pure, or those who are very pious, situated in the mode of goodness. So we know from Mahabharata that Dronacharya, after the death of Bhishma, then Dronacharya became the commander of the Kaurava army. But he was invincible. Although Drishtadyumna was the destined killer of Dronacharya, the fighting was such and Drona's strength was such, it seemed impossible. So finally, Krishna devised a plan. Because Dronacharya's dear son was Ashwatthama. So Krishna said that if Dronacharya hears that Ashwatthama has died, then he will give up all enthusiasm for fighting. So first Bhima declared that Ashwatthama has been slain. But Bhima was not so famous for his word. He didn't believe him. Actually, Ashwatthama was not killed in the battle at Kurukshetra. Only Ashwatthama, Kripa, and one more survived. So then Krishna told Yudhisthira, you must tell this lie, because if you say this, Drona must believe you. You are so truthful. So even though Krishna was directly telling him, this was very difficult for Yudhisthira. So he said, first someone killed an elephant named Ashwatthama. And then he declared loudly, Ashwatthama has been slain. But because he could not bear to tell the lie, he said in a very small voice, Ashwatthama, the elephant, has been slain. So very soon Drona put down his weapons and sat in yogic posture, intending to give up his life. So it is described that, can you imagine, there in the battlefield at Kurukshetra, fighting all around, and Drona sits down in yoga on his chariot and raises his soul, himself, to his skull and leaves his body by the power of mystic yoga. But this could only be perceived by a few persons. And Drishtadyumna thought, now is my chance. He rushed to the chariot, grabbed Drona by the hair and cut off his head, took the head and threw it at the Kaurava army. But he had already left his body. Think how we are sitting and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. We are trying to absorb our full consciousness in the holy name without any other thought. But it is very hard for us. Unfortunate as we are, we have no such attraction. Even in a quiet place with so much time, we cannot absorb ourselves fully, or at least I cannot absorb myself fully. And Drona, in the midst of the battlefield, he completely withdrew himself from matter and left his body. So it is described that Maharaj Yudhisthira, described in Mahabharata, that before he told this lie, his chariot wheels were 4 fingers breadth off the ground. But as soon as he told the lie, his chariot wheels touched the ground. Of course, a mundane moralist may say, oh, it's because he told a lie, even though Krishna told him. But we cannot interpret according to the strength of our own understanding. This is also described in Mahabharata. Tartako Pratishta. Arguments are unsteady. Someone will always put a better logical argument. Shrutayo Vibhinna. If you go to Shastra, there's so many Shastra and they give so many different ideas. You can find a Purana that will say Lord Shiva is the Supreme Person and Lord Vishnu is his expansion. Nasavrishir yata matam nabhinnam. Every philosopher or rishi, to become famous, he must put forward something new. So everyone has their own twist on it, their own philosophy. Then how can you understand the truth? Dharma sha tattvam nihita guhayam mahajano yena katha sapanta. The truth of dharma is within the heart of the mahajana. Therefore you must inquire from him. Unfortunately, people in general, they don't inquire from mahajanas. They go to holy place simply to take a bath. Yatirta buddhi salile na kariche janesha bigeshu sa eva gokara. Such people are no better than gokara, cows and asses. So It could be speculated that Yudhisthira's chariot came to the ground because he told a lie, but it could be that his chariot came to the ground because he didn't implicitly follow Krishna's instruction. That is the duty of the disciple. He must implicitly execute the order of the spiritual master without hesitation. And in this case, the Pandavas, their spiritual master, as well as their supreme lord, is Sri Krishna. So although Krishna had directly ordered Yudhisthira to tell this lie, and although Yudhisthira did it, still he adjusted by saying Ashwatthama, the elephant. So many times people criticize Krishna for acting immorally. Of course, he danced with so many young girls when he was in Vrindavan in the dead of night. He told Yudhisthira to tell this lie just by trick to kill Dronacharya. Then there's the killing of Karna. His chariot wheel was stuck in the ground. He had been cursed previously that once while engaged in battle, you will find your chariot wheel is devoured by the earth. So in Mahabharata, it is described that after the death of Drona, when Karna became commander-in-chief, then he is fighting with Arjun. The earth devoured his chariot wheel. He got down from his chariot and tried to pull up the wheel from out of the ground. He pulled so hard, it is described, that he lifted the whole of Bhumandala with seven islands and seven oceans, four fingers length. He pulled the entire earth up that much, but still he could not free his wheel. Just see the curse, the strength of the curse of the Brahmanas. Of course, this is Kali Yuga. The Brahmanas don't have that strength to curse. There are also many histories, many stories in the Puranas where someone donates their piety for the welfare of someone else. Suppose I meet someone who is suffering very greatly. So I want to deliver that person. So previously a person could say, okay, I'll give you all of the merit that I attained by offering a lamp during the month of Kartik. I donate that to you. Then immediately their miserable condition is evaporated and they ascend to the heavenly planets. But now we also don't have that power. So Krishna is criticized. In many ways, Karna is trying to pull out his wheel. He's trying to invoke his Brahmastra, but the mantra, he forgets it. This was the curse of Parashuram. Karna went to learn the entire science of weapons from Parashuram, but he knew that Parashuram would only impart that to a Brahmin, so he misrepresented himself as being the son of a Brahmin. But then one day, as Parashuram and Karna were in the forest, Parashuram was feeling tired. He had Karna sit down and he rested with his head on his lap. So at that time, a very evil worm started eating Karna's thigh, eating a hole in Karna's thigh. But if he were to flinch or grab the worm, then he would disturb the sleep of his spiritual master. So he just tolerated the pain, excruciating pain. Finally, Parashuram got up. He saw the blood and saw what had happened. Then he understood. You cannot be a Brahmin. You must be Kshatriya, because only a Kshatriya can tolerate such pain. Where are such Kshatriyas today? We read in the Battle of Kurukshetra, even a Kshatriya, he has 14 arrows sticking in his forehead. He's still going on fighting without being disturbed. So, Krishna, in that condition, Karna could not invoke his Brahmastra. He was struggling to pull the chariot wheel out of the ground. Krishna told Arjuna, now, kill him now. Krishna's telling Arjuna, so Arjuna took his arrow and cut off his head. Karna is saying, what are you doing? Don't you know the rules of etiquette for Kshatriyas while fighting? Someone who is not armed, someone who is not attacking, someone who is fleeing the battlefield with back turned, someone with folded hands. You cannot attack such a person. But Krishna told him, who are you to talk about morality? What about the unfair killing of Abhimanyu? What about how you insulted and dragged Draupadi into the assembly of Kurus? So there's many examples of how Krishna acted immorally or had his devotees act immorally. From this we can understand, from all of this, that although the principles of morality such as truthfulness are to be very strictly followed in ordinary dealings, but in the service of Krishna, when it is ordered by Krishna and the spiritual master, not otherwise, then they can be violated, because the highest morality is to please Krishna or to obey Krishna. Dharman tu shakshad bhagavat pranitam. Real meaning of dharma is that which is spoken by the Lord. So here, instead of delivering the child to Kamsa, Devaki is praying, my Lord, please transform yourself into an ordinary child so that we can hide you and you will not be discovered by the cruel King Kamsa. And then Krishna obliged. Vasudev took Krishna to Vrindavan, exchanged him with the girl born of Mother Jashoda. So we should not use this as an excuse. Sometimes devotees would go too far in the idea that anything can be done. There's no morality in serving Krishna. Just like I was speaking with a devotee who was disciple of Prabhupada and doing book distribution in America in Prabhupada's time. He's now staying in Vallabhvidyanagar in Gujarat. So he told me a very funny story. There's something that the devotees used to do called the change-up. They would distribute books in public places like the airports in America. Suppose someone takes a book. Well, naturally, the devotees wanted to get as much money for the book as possible. So they had this technique called the change-up. You give the person the book, then they say, Well, how much is it? You say, well, sir, actually I've got so many small notes, $1, $2, $1 like this. Could you give me $100 so I can get rid of all my small change? So they say, okay, give $100. Then they give $1, $2. Is that enough? Is that okay? And maybe, okay, here, $1, $2, and run away. So that's called the change up. The funny thing this devotee was telling me was that he was doing this in America. Then he came to Bombay some years ago, and he went out in Christmas marathon to do book distribution. They had a table at Andheri Station, and he was sitting there. So that was his practice. So someone bought a small book, and then he asked him, you know, I have a lot of small change here. Do you have a 1,000-rupee note? So they give, okay, here's 10 rupees, that's okay. Then he thought, actually, there's no need to do this in India. So, actually, there were a lot of, not always, but there were many of these techniques used by the book distributors. And then actually they were condemned by many devotees, brought to Prabhupada's attention, and he also condemned this. He said, just distribute the book on the merit of the book itself. These books have enough merit, just convince them by your own appreciation. So, although there may be some times when, like Yudhisthira, we may have to tell a lie for the service of Krishna, generally we should try to be very truthful, very straightforward in our dealings, very humble. So in this way people will appreciate us. Well, thank you very much. Are there any questions? I have a question. Not Govardhan Puja Prasad. I go around a bit in Bombay and I see so many people are wearing Being Human t-shirts everywhere. Being Human, Being Human. How has this become so popular? Does anybody know? Of course, probably devotees, you don't know such things. Everywhere, Being Human, Being Human. Yes? How did he initiate it? Oh, okay. Thank you. Yeah, we are all human beings, but for us in Bombay, it is sometimes hard to be human. All right, thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.